The Tolner Rebbe from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. His name is Rav Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg. Had this chus to meet him once, and he said, "Oh, my name is also Weinberg." I said, "Thank you, Rebbe. It's great to hear. I feel special now." Okay, but he has beautiful svarim. They're very hard to get. They're very much out of print. They're called Hema Yenachamuni. These small little Eretz Yisrael dika looking svarim. And they were shirim that he actually gave. He had a sister who passed away, who lived in Efrat, and he gave shirim in her home for a period of time. So these are those shirim. I think they're written up by his brother-in-law. Okay, so let's take a look. The piece is called Machar Yeh Ha'os Hazeh. Okay, I'm going to skip the first paragraph, but he says that there are a lot of nuanced things to recognize in the Megillah if you read the Megillah carefully. I mean, besides the obvious differences between Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Zeresh, he says, I want to talk about a specific nekuda that you could totally miss in how Mordechai and Esther act and how Haman and Zeresh act. And he quotes the Medrash. I mentioned it on Sunday, the Medrash in Mishlei, that Purim is forever. And therefore, the lessons of Purim and the lessons of the Megillah, as it says in the Megillah itself, it's for every generation, it's for every family, it's for every Medina, it's for every year. So we have to learn Megillah carefully and try to figure out how to apply it to our lives. Okay, so let's take a look in the second paragraph on page 283. Hishtal shalis hanyanim haisakach. The unfolding of the matter is as follows. Shebitchila haisa yado shal haman al ha'elyona, v'yadam shal Yisrael al ha'tachtona. Of course, the story begins in a very tragic way, where you see Haman so dominant over Klal Yisrael, so threatening to Klal Yisrael. Haman has the upper hand, and Klal Yisrael have the lower hand. Ad kedei kach, I forgot about this Gemara. There's a Gemara in Megillah that has to, like, really have to think about it this time of the year. The Gemara says, Ad kedei kach, shomer sa Gemara, Shmuel Amar, Gavar malki ilah mimalka tata. Gavar, overpowered, Malka Ilah, the Malka Ilah, the kingdom above, Mimalka Tata, from the kingdom below. Now, of course, that's how it's supposed to be, that Hashem dominates from above. But if Shmuel is saying it, in the context that he's saying it, he's actually speaking euphemistically. He's saying, Kiviyachol, the opposite. Kiviyachol, as it were, the Malchus below was dominating the Malchus above. Ki'ilu Haman was dominating Hashem. That's what Shmuel is really saying. Perish Rashi, Shadvar Meim Lashon Sagi Nahor. Right, Lashon Sagi Nahor means a euphemistic expression. Literally, Sagi Nahor, full of light. It's a term that Chazal used for a blind person. A blind person is full of light. He's the opposite. He dwells entirely in darkness. But it's the euphemistic expression to describe a blind person. So, like I told you, we had it yesterday also, right? So Nehem Shel Yisrael, the enemies of the Jewish people. Enemies of the Jewish people means the Jewish people. We just don't like to say that. So Shmuel euphemistically says, Ki'ilu, the kingdom above, dominated the kingdom below. Right? That's his way of hinting the very frightening opposite. Kiviyachol achashveirosh hischazek ad kedei kach, sheyachol hayalifol neged ritzoni yisbarach. Ki'ilu achashveirosh could act outside of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. Like again we mentioned yesterday, Vayhi b'mei achashveirosh is one more than Bereishis. Achashverosh made a party for 187 days, one more than Makom. Hashem is Makomo Shel Olam. Makom is 186. Achashverosh, he thinks he has the upper hand over Hashem. Achashverosh, Haman, however you want to say it, but Ki'ilu, you know, Klal Yisrael and their God is being pushed down, and Haman is continuing to Achar Dvar Ma'ila, Gidel HaMelech Achashverosh as Haman. Right? Haman just keeps Gidel, he keeps rising and rising and getting bigger and more powerful. So Mordechai Shiyodas Kol Asher Nasa. Mordechai recognizes all that's taking place. Paul Bechol Derech Efsharis Lahavir Ezra Gzera. And Mordechai, of course, is trying to do whatever he can to stop the Gzera of Haman from coming true. Kedi'is of a Medrash. Now listen to this Medrash. Very powerful Medrash. Amar HaSatan V'histin Alayan V'amar Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Medrash Yalkut Shimoni and Esther. The Satan comes and it comes before Hashem, and it says, Ribono Shel Olam, Ad Masai Tidabek V'Umazu, Shem Mafrishim Atzma Mimcha, Abedo Sam B'Zman Hazeh. The Satan comes to Hashem and says, how long are you going to let these Jews get away with this? How long are you going to let these Jews who don't take you seriously, who don't cling to you in the right way, how long are you going to cling to them? Just finish them off already. So Hashem says to the Satan, okay, maybe, I'll think about it. Amar lo, v'torah matahe aleha. If I kill the Jewish people, what's going to be with my Torah? Amar le, the Satan said, Ribono sha'olam, tistapik be'el yonim. No, the angels in Shemayim, the Masifta Derekia, the Heavenly Academy. What do you need a base medrash down below? What do you need a shuls? And the Jews are not serious. So shut down all the yeshivas, shut down all the shuls, shut down all the mikvahs, shut down all the everything, and you know, retreat back into the upper realms. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu hishva daito ba'osa shah. Says the medrash, Kadosh Baruch Hu was starting to buy into it. You know, maybe I should. Maybe it's not a bad idea. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uma zu shebishvila rabos anchosi b'chol yom, ashbisa me'enosh zichram. Miyad Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, heviu li igros ve'echtov aleim kolaya. So Hashem says, you know what? This people that gives me such a headache, right? That all day, you know, they're so difficult. They're so annoying, Klal Yisrael, sometimes. Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to do it. Bring me the documents and I will write out their destruction. Unbelievable. Miyad halach ha-satan lehevi megillah. So the satan went to bring a document. Kisharasa Torah kach. When the Torah itself saw what was happening, Yatzas lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu bebigdei almanos. The Torah put on the clothing of a widow. V'nasna kol bebechi, and the Torah itself started to cry out. U'lekol bechisa tzaku malachi asharis. When the angels heard the Torah crying, the angels also cried out. And everyone was screaming, what's going to be if you destroy Klal Yisrael? If Yisrael b'teilim anu lamad nitzrachim l'v'olam. If you destroy Klal Yisrael, then what's the purpose of anything? When the sun and the moon heard this, they also girded themselves in sackcloth, and they raised their voice in tears. And then the Shemayim and Aretz followed as well. Final line on the page, Amar Eliyahu v'Amar, Yivat li Yisrael shechozrim mimakom, turn the page, lamakom lilmod Torah. You're going to destroy the Jewish people? There's just good Jews out there. Come on, the Jews travel around from one place to the next place to learn Torah. U'mishtabdim ala Shabbos, v'ala mila, v'ala mitzvos. The Jews aren't so bad. What's going on here? The Torah is crying, and Shemayim v'aretz are crying, and the sun and the moon are crying, and the angels are crying, and Eliyahu and Navi is trying to, you know, rally some merits. Miyad rutz Eliyahu zal b'bal al tzedike olam, v'etzel neviyim harishonim. So Eliyahu comes running, I guess, to the souls of those who lived, you know, prior to the Purim story. To the Nevi'im, to the Tzadikim, to the Avos. Va'amar lahem shemayim va'aretz v'chol tzva shemayim bochim b'mar nefesh. V'chol ha'olam kula achzaso chil k'oleda. Right, the world is trembling. We don't know what's going to be. V'atem yoshim v'doimimim. So Eliyahu says, where are you? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, what's going on? No, what's happening here? Moshe and Aaron, where are you? Amar lo, mipnei ma, what's going on? Right, I guess the Avos were busy, you know, in the base medrash. They didn't know what was going on. Amar lahem, b'pnei she'achlu v'shasu mi'mishta achashverosh. The Jews ate from the party, and Hashem is being convinced by the Satan to destroy the world. V'ushlu Yisrael l'tebach. The Jews are fit to be slaughtered. U'limchos shemam min ha'olam. And to have their names raised from the world. Amar Moshe le'Eliyahu, klom yesh adam kosher b'dor. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, is there no one? Hashem saved the Noach. Is there no one? Destroy the whole world? There's no Jew who can maybe be a source of merit? Amar lo, Eliyahu says, yes, there is a Jew. Yesh Adam Echad Bahem, there is one Jew, Mordechai Shemo. And his name is Mordechai. Mordechai Shemo. The Ish Yehudi. Yeah? Yeah. That's probably why Moshe is the one who spoke up here. But I'm not sure. I don't know. Did Moshe know that he was still in the world in some form, in the form of Mordechai? I don't know. But every tzaddik hador is called Moshe. That's what the Gemara says. Amar lahem hodiyu sheyamod hu misham va'anachnu mikan b'tfilo v'tachanunim. So he said to them, listen, we gotta do something about this. Let's rally, let's daven, let's something, let's beg Hashem to change his mind. Amru lo, Roa Naman. So he says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Roa Naman. Moshe Rabbeinu, righteous shepherd, right? Faithful shepherd. Kvar kvasu igros shoklaya. It's much worse than you think. Moshe, this is, you don't realize. You're like just waking up to this process. Oh, we should daven. We should ask Hashem to change his mind. You don't understand. Hashem's writing letters of destruction about Klal Yisrael. Vekvar hi chasuma. It's already signed and sealed. Miyad amar Moshe lavos ha'olam. So Moshe turned to the avos. And Moshe said, what was it sealed with? How sealed was it? You know, stamped, it was sealed. It was delivered. How far along the process is it? Im batit hi chasuma rachem nishma. If it's sealed with some type of, you know, like a wax stamp, if it's sealed, the teeth means like, what is it? Plaster? Yeah, maybe plaster. Right? If it's sealed in that way, then negotiate. If it's sealed with blood, then it's mashahaya yiyya. What was will be. Miadba Eliyahu Eitzel Mordechai Vodil. So Eliyahu comes to Mordechai and says, Mordechai, listen, you're the last hope here. And that's what the Pasuk says. When Mordechai yaldas kol asher nasa. When the Pasuk says that Mordechai knew all that was, that's what it's a reference to, right? The beginning of the fourth parak. Let's get a Megillas Esther open so we can have it with us as we go. Yeah, and the third parak is when Haman's first mentioned. Haman comes to power. All right, and the fourth paragraph begins. Mordechai yadas kol asher nasa, v'yikra Mordechai is begadav, v'yilbash sak. He puts on sackcloth and he tears his clothing. Mordechai is terrified. He hears what's happening. He hears in the olamos elyonim. There's a whole discussion here. Nu, so ma'asa Mordechai. What did Mordechai do? What did he do? I mean, the pasuk says he tore his clothing and he went into the middle of the street and started screaming. That's what the pashup shot is. That's what the pasuk says. Says the Medrash, Mordechai gathered kol tinokos shel beis rabban. He gathered together all the little school children. Ve'ino osam ilacham u'mayim. And he withheld food from them and drink from them. Ve'hilbisham sakim. And he put them in sackcloth. Ve'oshivam al efer. And he covered them in dust and ashes and sackcloth, like the sign of a mourner. And he made the kids hungry. Ve'hayetzaveach u'bochi imam b'yom v'layla. And these poor, hungry kids, you know, joined Mordechai, and they fasted and davened and screamed out day and night. Now, just try to understand. In the Olamos, Hashem says, it's basically, it's a done deal. Like, there's nothing to do. And Mordechai is rallying. Mordechai goes out in the streets, and he's screaming, he's trying, he's still davening. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, oh, we should daven. Ah, Moshe was davening. We're way past davening at this point. Signed and sealed. What's it sealed with? Maybe there's room to negotiate. Mordechai gets that report. Mordechai gets the report that in Shemayim, it's basically over. And yet, what does Mordechai do? What does Mordechai do? He goes out, and he gets the kids, and he's davening. He explains the Tol in the Rebbe, Kach his galgalu hadvarim ad asher nefach gzardinam shel Yisrael l'tova. Somehow, from all of this madness, all this craziness, there's a turn of events, v'nahafachu, that the Jewish people are able to overturn this gzar din, and things work out well. Beginning of the sixth parak of the Megillah, Achashverosh has a sleepless night, and the Gemara explains Zehu Tokfo Shal Neis, that is the Tokfo, literally means the strength of the miracle. Kedivrei Gemara, Uva Osa Laila Nigzar Al Haman, and it was on that night that Haman was told, "Quick, take the clothing, take the horse, go do exactly like you said." To Mordechai HaYehudi. And the Talmud Rabbi says, HaKol B'Zchus Tfilaso Shal Mordechai. Look how Mordechai's davening turned everything around. After Mordechai was basically told, there's zero hope. Not just like Olam Haza, Haman is powerful, zero hope. In the Olamos, the Avos are like, oh, sorry, we can't help you, whatever, you know. Mashahaya Yiyah, what's done is done, you know. And Mordechai gets this report, with all the gory details of how impossible it's going to be to change anything. And yet, says the Tolner Rabbi, fast forwarding a little bit, we know that it did change. How much did it change? Look how much it changed. Second to last paragraph on 284. Amna Mordechai Hatzadik lo yalda ala mahapich. Right? Mordechai didn't know how everything had turned around. Mordechai doesn't even realize. When Haman comes to Mordechai, as we learned on Sunday, and he's got the horse, and he's got the clothing, he thinks he's coming to kill him. He thinks he's coming to kidnap Mordechai. To literally to kill Mordechai. Right? We learned on Sunday, Mordechai's sitting there, and he's giving a Gemara shir to a bunch of young Talmudic scholars. He's teaching them kmitza, how to separate a kometz, a scoop of flour from a mincha offering, this week's parsha. Right, as Shoval pointed out. Yeah? So Mordechai sees Haman show up. He thinks, this is it. I'm going to get killed. He doesn't know what's going to happen. In the end, of course, what? Haman puts Mordechai on the horse. And in the very powerful scene, says the Tolner Rebbe, three lines from the end of that paragraph, Misaperes HaGemara, Bishosha Ola Al Hasus, Ba'at Mordechai Bahaman. When Mordechai got onto the horse, he gave Haman a good kick. Gave him a swift kick. Amar lo Haman, hey, lo ksiv luchu. Doesn't it say in your Torah or in your Tanakh, bin folo ivecha al tismach? When your enemy falls, don't rejoice. You kicked me on purpose. Mordechai says, I'm too tired from fasting. I can't climb on the horse myself. Maybe you could bend down and I could step on your back to climb on the horse. And as he's climbing the horse, he kicks Haman. So Haman says to Mordechai, that's not right. Jews aren't those types of people. Bin folay vecha, when your enemy falls, when your enemy is down, al tismach, don't rejoice. We don't say a full halal when the Egyptians were drowning in the waters. At the end of Pesach, we don't say a full halal. Shvi shel Pesach, kriyas yamsuf, masa yaday tovim bayom. Hashem says, my creations are drowning. Your creations, Hashem, they're evil Egyptians. Who cares? Hashem says, have a little rachmanis, even on an evil Egyptian. So Haman says, why are you kicking me? That's not how a Jew acts. So what does Mordechai say back? Mordechai says back, Amar lei, hani mili bi Yisrael. Don't rejoice that your enemy's downfall refers to your fellow Jews. Aval bedidchu, but about you, ksiv va'ata abamoseimo tidroch. About the enemies of Klal Yisrael, we're supposed to what? Tidroch, we're supposed to trample their high places. Ata bamosemo tidroch. Bamosemo, Obama means a high place. Right? Fitting that Mordechai used this pasuk, which are the last words of Moshe in the Torah. Tidroch is the last word Moshe says in the Torah. Just good to know that. How much is tidroch? Well, 724. Gematria mishnech lezadar. Bitachon. Okay, good. Ancient Yayush. Good. So that's a turn of events. But this is Moshe Rabbeinu's last word in the Torah. You'll trample their high places, right? So Haman, you big, bloated, gaivadic person, there's nothing that gives me more pleasure than to what? Than to kick you and you, Dafka, are down. But again, a minute before that, Mordechai thought Haman was coming to chop his head off. He thought he was coming to kill him. Va'atabam v'seim v'tidroch. Explains the Tolner Rebbe. You know what that means, va'atabam v'seim v'tidroch? That's like the ultimate vina hafachu. Hu simin va'os l'nitzachon muchlat. That's a sign of complete victory. Mukhlat means complete. Absolute victory. Kasher ha-nichvash nimtza tachas yad ha-kovesh ad kedei kach shu dorech al b'mosav. To dominate someone means I trample your... What's a bama? Again, a bama means a high place. Your greatest values are beneath my feet. I take the heights of your success and I stand on top of it. That's the ultimate expression of what? Of someone being victorious over someone else. Al edvar ma-chashuvim lo b'yosar avuram. Bana bamos, right? Your most important things. You build bamos. You build skyscrapers. You build monuments. You build something that says, this is a chashuv place. Right? Bekach hiskavi in Mordechai lomer lamet. So what was Mordechai saying to Haman? Last line on page 284. Ki ad ata yado haisa el yona. Up to this point, you had the upper hand. Ulam ata, top of page 285. Yado ala tachtona ba'ofen ko muchlat. But now, vina hafachu, 100%. The same way you dominated us, we're going to dominate, we're going to trample you, Haman. Literally standing on Haman's back as he climbs onto the royal horse. Everything Haman had dreamed for himself was taken away and given to Mordechai. Sha'anu dorchem al b'mosecha ve'ein le'el yadcha la'asos ma'uma. That we're going to trample your high places and you can't do anything about it. Total vina hafachu. Okay. Now, explains the Tolner Rebbe. Mordechai lo chashav sharekiva lesus hamelech berchov haseir va'kriya shal Haman kacha yeasel ish tishana masho. You have to understand, Mordechai got his cheap shot in here, right? But at the same time, says the Tolna Rebbe, Mordechai didn't really believe that this horse ride was going to change anything. It was an opportunity to kick Haman when he was down, so he did it. But what happens right after this horse ride? He goes right back to his sackcloth. The Gezeirah of Haman is still in place. Right? Mordechai is very surprised that Haman's giving him this horse ride. The king has commanded it. It's payback for saving the king when Bigson and Zeresh wanted to kill the Melech. Right? But Mordechai didn't think that this ride would change a thing. Lehefech. Mordechai yada sha'gzera kfar nigzra v'ach nechtama. Mordechai knew from Shemayim, from Eliyahu HaNavi, that it was signed and sealed. L'chorehi einena nitenes la'ashava. Mordechai felt that there's nothing to do to turn it back. V'achein la'achar haman hirchev es Mordechai berecho v'ayir. Shav Mordechai el sako v'taniso. Mordechai goes right back to his sackcloth. Mordechai goes right back to his fasting. Sharei ha'gzeira be'eino omedes, because the gzeira, the decree against Klal Yisrael, was still fully in place, fully intact. Va'afim yado shel Haman ala tachtona. And even if now Mordechai says, well, you know, for a moment I had the upper hand, I was stepping on your back, mikol makom inyan ze batal mevutal lumas ha'gzeira hanara. Good, so Mordechai, you got to kick in on Haman. You had a moment of overpowering Haman. The decree is still in place, though. Nothing's changed in terms of the Holocaust that's still being plotted and planned and signed and sealed. B'shamayim uva aretz. It was a done deal. Hare higayon omer, logic declares. Higayon means logic. Logically, one would say, shahal yonos lo timshach me'avar l'rekiva b'chutzo sa'ir. Hare gam la'achar nitzchonu ha'muchlat shal Mordechai. Not only that, he says, even after Haman is killed later on in the story, it's still not clear the Jews are going to survive. There's no point in the story where it's clear the Jews are going to survive until we survive. Right? We still need Rachamim Merubim, because Machsheves Haman, the plot of Haman, is still out there. Right? So it's very unclear what this horse ride is going to accomplish. It's very unclear if Mordechai's tefillos accomplished anything, right? So just try to put yourself again in Mordechai's shoes. So you have this moment of success, a moment where Haman has to humble himself before you. And Mordechai seems to really cherish the moment. Mordechai kicks him in the stomach and says, "V'ata b'mosein v'tidro, we're going to trample your high places." He's talking a big game, Mordechai. And yet he himself, right after, goes right back to the sackcloth, goes right back to the fasting. Even after Haman is hanging from the gallows, it's still not clear that Klal Yisrael is going to survive, because the letters have been sent throughout the entire civilized world to kill the Jewish people on the 13th of Adar. And Mordechai knows that. He's living that. He's living the pain of fasting and davening and sackcloth. And yet, when he has that moment, and here's the yisod that the Tolna Rebbe is going to develop, when he has that moment to what? When he has that moment to be on the top of the world, He cherishes that moment. Right before I thought Haman was going to kill me. Right after I still think Haman's going to kill me. But I have a moment of godless, a moment of opportunity, a moment where something is being given to me, a gift from Hashem, even if it's only for a couple of moments. But I'm gonna relish that moment. I'm gonna cherish that moment. Look what he writes. Here's the yesod. Bechol zos, afshe lechora ein tikva. Even though it seems like there's no hope. Kulam nidonim lamaves. They are all been assigned a death sentence. Mikol makom hanhagas Mordechai haisa lichayos es harega. Give life to the moment. Live the moment. Here you have a moment where you're beating a Malik. But last night a Malik beat me. Who cares? Right now you're beating a Malik. You're making a choice right now. Yeah, but tomorrow a Malik's going to drag me down again. Right now you're beating a Malik. That's Gavaldik. You know how powerful a Malik is? And you are trampling their high places. The Malik, we're living in the Ikvus of the Mashiach. We're living in the final days before Mashiach's arrival. We have to believe that. As Jews, we really have to believe that. What was the curse that was given to Adam back in Bereshis? Right? Adam's going to have to work hard. He's going to suffer. Yeah, what else? It says that there's going to be a fight that exists forever between what? Between the Nachash and mankind. Ve'eva ashiz bein cha ovein ha'isho ovein zaracha ovein zara, hu yeshuf charosh va'ata tishufenu akev. Says the pasuk, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Hashem speaking to the snake. He will pound your head, and you will bite his heel. He will pound your head, and you will bite his heel. Okay? The period that we're in is called the ikvus of the Mashiach, the heel, the footsteps, right? If you view all of history as starting from the top and working its way down, so we're up to the final part. We're just trying to somehow fix the feet, the footsteps. The last step before Mashiach comes, ikvus of the Mashiach, the akiv, the heel. What does it say? It says that a time is going to come. Now, really, the pasuk says this is all the time, right? But especially in our time, where the snake is biting the heel. We are the heel. We're the generation of the heel. What does the pasuk say? It says you, or he, because Hashem is speaking to the snake, he, mankind, Adam, is going to what? Yeshuf charosh. Is going to pound your head. We're going to try to step on the head of the snake, as the head of the snake is trying to what? To bite our heel. So just think about that imagery for a second. The head of the snake versus the heel of man. If the snake represents negativity, yetzer hara, evil, call it whatever you want, what does the head of the snake mean? The head of the snake means what? The snake at its best, right? The head, the rosh. The head of the snake versus what? Versus the heel of man. That seems like such an unfair fight. No? You're taking a professional athlete and you're forcing a little kid to play sport against him. That's not fair. Different league. The head of the snake, the biggest Yetzirah's versus the heel of mankind, versus the Jews in the final generation. That's like a total mismatch. And yet, says the Pasuk, we're going to pound on the head of the snake, even as the snake tries to what? Tries to bite and poison our heel. Tries to destroy the heel. Which means that the Torah is acknowledging the fact that it's possible for us, yes, even us, the heel, the Jews at the end of days, the ikvus of the Mashiach Jews, it's possible for us, somehow, to pound the head of the snake. The biggest Yetzirah that ever existed, it's possible for us to win. But sometimes we lose. True. But also sometimes you win. And that's Mordechai's whole chiddush. Mordechai says, right now, when I'm on the horse, when I have a chance to step on Haman's head, I'm going to step on his head. Hu yeshuf charosh. Again, a minute before, I thought he was going to kill me. A minute after, all of Klal Yisrael is still subject to his gezerah. But right now, va'ata abamoseimo, on your high places, on your head. Tidroch, I'm going to trample it, I'm going to crush it. U'mikeven shebesoch kol ha'ma'oros ha'kashim. So amidst all of the hardship that Mordechai and Klal Yisrael are going through, there's a moment of what? A moment of koras ruach, of yishuv adas, of peace of mind. A good moment. Afshe lechora ein lo mashmaos mul kol habayos. It doesn't solve all the problems. As again is clearly indicated by Mordechai returning to his sackcloth and fasting right after his horse ride. Nothing has been solved. Yet, Mordechai lo hisyaches lakach. Mordechai didn't get caught up on that. Vinag behargasha shel kivush. Mordechai says, right now I'm the champ. Right now I'm the victor. Right? This is a victory. And Mordechai, again, cherished that moment. Hu nitza es harega. He captured that moment. He grabbed onto that moment. Livot b'haman, to kick Haman. Ulekayim ba'atzma es ha-pasuk va'ata b'masemo tidroch. To fulfill Moshe Rabbeinu's last words in the Torah. That you're going to trample their high places. Od ma'at yashuv al sakov al taniso. And even though in a couple minutes from now he's going right back to sackcloth and right back to fasting, that's what Mordechai did. He grabbed the moment. Hargasha zu b'matzav kazeh yachola lisharos rak ba'odam shemunaso chazaka. Only a Jew who believes that every moment that he's given is exactly the way it's supposed to be from Hashem can be in the moment. So when Hashem gives me a good moment, I say thank you. When Hashem gives me a difficult moment, I respond the way a Jew is supposed to respond to difficulties. It's a sign of tremendous strength that Mordechai is able to be fully present in all of those moments. Again, if life is random, it's very hard. It's hard to know what to feel. But if I see everything that happens as a directive from Hashem, so then I live that moment the way it's supposed to be lived. And therefore, Mordechai grabbed each moment to do the Ratzon of Hashem, lelo istaklus al hamachar, without looking what comes next. Okay? Look how Esther did the same thing. Bottom paragraph on page 285 for those who are just joining us. Kachem advarim gam bahan hagasa shel Esther amalka. Esther is the same way. Lasos mashanitein lasos. Do what you can. So much of our shortcomings in life is we psych ourselves out. Do what you can. Do what you can. You can't come to, you know, both shirim today? Come to one shir today. You can't daven shachris with a minion for some reason? So daven mincha with a minion. No, I didn't daven shachris with a minion. Today's not a minion day. What is that? Who says? Today's not a learning day. Got off to a late start. So, jump back on the train. Get involved. Do what you can. The Medrash says an unbelievable thing about Esther. Listen to this. And look how the Talmud Rebbe again explains it and plays it up. A Medrash Omer, Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Davara. A person who keeps a mitzvah doesn't know a bad thing. Who's that a reference to? Says the Medrash in Koheles, Zo Esther. This is a reference to Esther. Shehayisa Asuka B'mitzvahs Biur Chametz. Esther was involved in the mitzvah of Biur Chametz, of getting rid of the Chametz. What does that mean? Look what he explains. Havan is boning. Let's contemplate this for a minute. Esther shasa b'beis Achashverosh. Esther's living in Achashverosh's palace. U'mordechai tziva aleh asher lo tagida sama muladata. And Esther is an undercover agent. She has not revealed who she is, what nation she's from. Hilo yachla linho kiyuhudia. She's not able to operate like a Jew and ask for kosher meals because that would give away her nationhood. So she has to work completely undercover. Sherei lo nitein lahalim es hanagasa ki Yehudia. Imkein, vade shelo hayu biyachotu lavaris hachametz mirshusa. So obviously what? Esther couldn't get rid of all the chametz. She couldn't remove all the crackers from the house and all the bread from the house and all the pasta from the house because then Ahasuerus said, what are you doing, Esther? Right? Gluten-free. I'm into the gluten-free. It's like, having stomach issues, gluten-free. Right? It's too obvious. You're a Jew. So Esther couldn't do that. Turn the page. Hare habayis haya biad goyim. First of all, Esther, as the queen doesn't run the kitchen. So Beis Achashverosh is filled with chametz. It's plenty of chametz. V'gam narosel lo haya yehudios. And even the women who were assigned to take care of Esther, they weren't Jewish. So they're showing up every day with their, you know, with their McDonald's Happy Meals and whatever, and leaving breadcrumbs all over her room. Yeah? According to one opinion, Esther asked for, she was on a diet, she ate only zeronim, which means seeds. She wouldn't partake of the non-kosher food. There is such a shita like that. That she only ate kosher. She found a way. I'm vegan. I can only eat this, I can only eat that. She checked the lettuce herself for bugs. I don't know. She found a way. Ulam mikol makom, but even if you were to entertain that Esther herself was not forced to eat tarfus, non-kosher, mikol makom habayis hayam malei chametz. There's no question, Beis Achashverosh was full of chametz. Sharei ein Beis HaMelech chaser muma, because the house of the king is not lacking anything. So the king had a baker on staff. Fresh bread being pumped out all Pesach. And there was nothing she could do to stop that. And yet Esther secretly went on Orla Arbaasar, as the opening Mishnah says in Maseches Pesachim, with her little candle and her little wooden spoon and her feather, whatever you do for B'dikas Chametz, yeah? And she swept up a couple of breadcrumbs. Shkayach. Great job. Says the Talmud Rebbe, L'chor haya makom lomar, she'ein erech l'mitzvah zo, shal birach kezayis chametz. What's the point of getting rid of? Good, so she put out 10 pieces of bread and she found them. Shkayach. The house is full of chametz. Shekol habayis malei chametz. But the attitude of Esther and the attitude of Mordechai is, you do what you can. A Jew always has to do what he or she can do. And therefore, Hanhagasa shall Esther Haisa. Sha'af im ikr habir lo yaseh lefisha hi anusa. She could have just said, Onas rachmana patre. There's nothing I can do. But she didn't say that. She said, there is something I can do. I can do a little bit. Right? Even though I can't take care of the entire bir chametz, and that's of course something that was beyond her control. B'chol zos, kol mashala el yada lasos, hitasa. Whatever I'm able to do, I'll do. Afim b'kach lo nishalim ha'inyan, even if I can't finish the job, and therefore what? Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Our job is not to finish the job. Va'af lo huscha. Right? Not only did she not finish the job, she barely began the job. B'chol zos hi misyachedis b'shas bir ha'chametz. Im kol Yisrael b'chol Moshe Seyim. She says, I want to attach myself to what? I want to attach myself to the bir ha'chametz of all Jews in all places. Shemavarim es ha'chametz min abayis. That the Jews who are ridding their home entirely of chametz, I want to also have a shaychus to that. I want to have a connection to that. So I'll get rid of what? I'll get rid of the little bit of chametz. The little bit of chametz that I'm able to get rid of. I was talking to my brother of Davidol on Sunday, and I don't want to ruin a good shiur that he's in the midst of preparing for Queens next Monday. Maybe the shiur will be online, I don't know. But he was telling me, again, without ruining, without saying too much, I don't want to steal his beautiful Torah. But the whole Indian of Mordechai doing that kmitza, yeah, the whole Indian of Mordechai doing that kmitza at the time that Haman came to him, what's a kometz? Mincha is the smallest of the offerings. And a kometz is a small portion of that that's burnt on the Mizbeach. And Haman says, your little kmitza pushed away all of my shkalim. I was ready to pay all the money in the world to destroy the Jewish people. And your little bit. Mordechai was teaching them. Mordechai was teaching them the chashivas of a little bit. A machazis a shekel, a tiny bit. So my brother told me, it's such a powerful image. He said, anytime you do a mitzvah, you could think of yourself just in the context in which you find yourself. Right? So you could picture, you could see yourself just putting on your tefillin in the morning. Or you could attach yourself, such a powerful image. You can attach yourself to every time tefillin has been worn in history. Picture that Jew in Mauthausen, you know, putting on his tefillin in the concentration camp. You know? Picture everyone ever wearing tefillin. My brother gave me an even more powerful image. He said, when a Jew shakes a lulav, yeah? Just like listen to the rustling of your lulav, and then like attach yourself to the rustle, just like hear like that earthquake of all the lulavim of history, you know? Shaking in your hand. That's what happens when a Jew does a mitzvah. He attaches himself to all of Torah mitzvah. So that's what Esther did. Esther said, my little bir chametz, yes, my little bir chametz is connected to what? To every Jewish home in the world in which I live, who's getting rid of all the chametz, in addition to all the bir chametz that exist in history. So yes, maybe if I can get rid of one more breadcrumb, maybe that'll tip the scales, maybe that'll bring the geula. A Jew does what he or she can do. Mitzvahs bir chametz b'yudal nisan einena sreifas kazayis chametz. Ela bir kol chametz ba'ofen shel v'lo yera'eh l'cha chametz b'chol gvulecha. Again, the Talmud Rabbi says, what is bir chametz? It's not called bir chametz. Bir chametz means getting rid of all the chametz in all of your territories. Not burning a small little kazayas in privacy. Esther went out on her little balcony. She went out on her porch of her palace window. And she took a lighter and she burnt a little breadcrumb. That's bir chametz. Knowing that she's living in a house filled with chametz. Eiza erech yesh l'sreifas kazayas chametz. Hareza kaloeg l'rash. It's a galechter. It's a laughing stock. It's a joke. It's a joke. B'chol zos holcha Esther hamalka va'asas asher b'yachot lasos. And about Esther, what does the pasuk say? Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. A person who guards a mitzvah. Shomer is also a lashon of anticipates. A person who anticipates a mitzvah, hopes for a mitzvah, will take whatever they can get. Lo yeda davara. Accomplishes a big thing. Don't think that Esther's little efforts was not a mitzvah. Shomer mitzvah. Shomer mitzvah. She kept a mitzvah. Says the Talmud Rebbe by the arrow in the next paragraph. Hanhaga zu shel Esther, hi hanhaga mufsis. This is a wondrous hanhaga. Such an important lesson. Hamilamedes kol adam keitzar alav lihisnai kasher einu yachol lifol b'tzura mishlamas. What do I do when I can't do everything? Do I do nothing? Kishi ifas liba, when I can't fulfill the desires of my heart. Whether it's an external blockage that's stopping me from doing it, or whether the blockage is myself. Let's say I'm sick. I'm sick. I can't daven as much as I would like to. So daven a little. Say the word moda ani lefanecha. I can't even finish the whole. Yeah, I heard an amazing story on Shabbos from Rabbi Yaakov Luban from Highland Park. He told me, he read a story about Rav Elyashiv, when Rav Elyashiv was like in his 90s. He was in the hospital one time, and Rav Elyashiv had a daily schedule, a daily routine that started about 3 a.m. So he wanted to keep his schedule, as weak and as sick as he was. So he got up, and he tried to get himself dressed, and he started to button his shirt. And when he got, his grandson maybe was in the room with him, when he got to the last button, he was too weak. Like he couldn't button his shirt. His mom is too weak. So he asked his grandson to help him to do the last button. It's just, he was just mamish too weak. And then Rav Elyashiv sat down. Right, he sat down and he learned for like 4 hours straight with like complete, you know, hasmada, totally lost in that world called Torah. So Rabbi Luban said to me, he said, think about this for a second. Rav Elyashiv was too weak to button his button. He didn't have enough strength in his entire body to button a single button. But the strength to what? To learn, you know, Torah b'hasmada for like 5 hours straight, that he was able to find the strength to do. Yeah? That's unbelievable. Where does a Jew get the strength to do such things? Right? A Jew has to do it. You have to do what you can do. You have to do what you can do. Sometimes there's one area where like, I just can't, but maybe there's another area that you can. Rav Elyashiv didn't have the physical strength, but he had the spiritual strength to somehow what? To be able to do that. So a person's a chol and says, I can't, you know? I can't daven like I'd like to. So daven a little bit. I can't learn. I can't concentrate. I can't learn. So learn a little bit. Say Bereshis. If you have the strength to say Bereshis Bara, say Bereshis Bara. You know, if you're a big masmin, say Bereshis Bara Lukim. Yeah, do what you can. A Jew has to do what he can do. Alo litos v'lachsho sh'mikeven sh'ina yachol lasos davar mushlam l'cheinu potter mikulam. Don't think because you can't do a complete thing, you're potter from everything. Do what you can. Okay? Chaver, let's jump ahead a little bit. Let's jump ahead. Turn the page to page 288. Just turn to the, I guess that's the last page that you have. Yeah, 288 and 289. Okay? All right, this is very gewaltig. Of course, the flip side of all of this, right, is Hama. As we've explained many times, Hama needs everything in order to be satisfied. One Jew doesn't bow down to Haman. Ugh. Kol zeinenu shovali. My whole life is a failure. What are you talking about, Haman? You're doing great. Appreciate your success. No, Haman's obsessed with perfection. He needs it to be complete. He's not satisfied with just a little bit. He's too nervous about what's my reputation going to be? What comes next? Okay, look at page 288 in the middle paragraph. And that's why he explains also that Zeresh, his wife, says to him, right, Nafolti Pol, if you're falling before the Jews, you're going to keep falling. That's a Malik attitude. If once you fall, you're just going to keep falling. What do you mean? Once you fall, maybe you start again, maybe you pick yourself up. One of my favorite Varts ever, Rav Lazer Geldsaler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He died at the age of 46 from his terrible injuries in a car accident. He was a very special Heligat Tzadik, who was a Rosh Yeshiva of a very interesting yeshiva called Or Yisrael. You should read his biography. It's called Reb Lazer. Reb Lazer Geldsaler said the following Vart. He said, why do you need Parshas Vayakol Pekudei? What do you need Vayakol Pekudei? This Shabbos, we read Pekudei. You're like listening during the landing, you're like, okay, like we did this already. No, Truma Tetzava, we did this. We've been down this road already. So Reb Lazer said a gevaldik Vart. He said, what happens when a Jew builds a Mishkan? Truma Tetzava, yeah? Truma Tetzava. V'osvili Mikdash V'shachanti B'soicham. Truma Tetzava. Everything. You built a Mishkan. What happens in Kisisa Chavra? What happened in Parshas Kisisa? Chereiga. Chereiga. You ruined everything. Truma Tetzava, you built the Mishkan. Kisisa Chereiga. So you know what Vayakol Pekudei is? What's Vayakol Pekudei? Says Reb Lazer Geldsaler, build another Mishkan. Build it again. After Chereiga, build your Mishkan again. Try again. Right? That's why the Torah set it up that way. What happens next? After Chereiga, what happens now? After you fall, what happens next? So Zeresh says to Haman, oh, you fell before Mordechai? Oh, if he's a Jew, Nafolti Paul, you're going to keep falling. Right? That's an Amalek attitude. Haman says 100% or nothing. That's not what we believe. We believe in crumbs. The Sod Yesharim, the Ishbitzer Rebbe, says that Purim is milashon perurim. You know what perurim means? Crumbs. Crumbs. A Yid believes in crumbs. Esther took a couple of crumbs and she burnt them. Ah, the house is full of chametz. Okay. But that's an attitude of growth. So look at this vart. This is a gavaldik vart. Just a couple more minutes. We'll finish up. I'll just show you two more vartlach and one story that I've told you in the past. B'no same time lehevi kan vart yafa. We're on page 288 in the middle paragraph. I want to share with you an amazing vart that perhaps expresses this idea. He says, in Parshas Va'era, the Torah says, you see it in quotes, V'samti pedus bein ami uvein amecha, machar yihyeh ha'os hazeh. That's the title of this piece, machar yihyeh ha'os hazeh. When it comes to a malik, it's interesting. We always find the word machar. Say he lachim ba malik machar. Go fight a malik tomorrow. It's always machar, machar, machar. It's always machar. A malik's all about machar. Why? Because machar determines what type of person you are. What happens tomorrow? When today was good or bad, what does your tomorrow look like? And how is it impacted by today? If I had a bad day today, does that mean tomorrow also has to be a bad day? Or can I dust myself off and try again? So look what he says here. On that pasuk, when Hashem says, or Moshe says to Paro, right, on behalf of Hashem, I'm going to put a pedus. There's going to be a pedus, means a distinction. Tomorrow we're going to distinguish between your people and my people. Right? By the Makos, Shmos Paraches. So he says, in Yerushalayim, there was a grandson of Rav Naftali Rapshitzer, someone whose Svarim we've actually learned in the past, Rav Avram Simcha Horovitz. Rav Avram Simcha Horovitz, the Baranov Rav, the Rebbe of Baranov. He moved to Yerushalayim at the end of his life. He spent, I think, the last 15 years or so of his life there. He wrote a couple of Svarim that we've learned in the past. One's called Chamra Tava. What's his other sefer called? O Rav Simcha. On Purim and Lag BaOmer and Hanukkah, they're filled with gematrias, wild svarim. So this grandson of the Rav Shitzer said the following vart: Al pasuk zehu Omer, tzei re'ei ma ha'hevdel bein Yisrael le'umos ha'olam. Again, the pasuk says that by the Makos, you'll see how the Makos distinguish between what, between Klal Yisrael and between the Egyptians. But he says, look at the difference between a Jew and someone of the umos ha'olam. Goy sheyesh lo yom mutzlach. A non-Jew has a successful day. Harei hu mishtaker v'shocheach es atzmo. Ves yom ha-macharas v'ilu kasher yesh lo yom ra. Hu misyayish minachayim minatikva v'atzipia lachayim yoser tovim. When a person of the world has a really good day, he's so drunk on that goodness that like he's just lost in it, to the exclusion of what happens tomorrow. And when he has a really bad day, he's so miyayish from that, he's so overwhelmed by that, that again, tomorrow falls apart for him. How does a Jew look at life? Aval Yisrael ain't okay. Look what he says where it's underlined. Biyom tova, when you have a good day, einim shochim ki lo la'olam chosim. When a Jew has success, he tries to do it in the balanced way. He doesn't assume that forever he's secure. Today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow. Each day is a unique opportunity. So if he has a good day, he's not irresponsibly confident in himself and his success. V'yam biyom ra, and if he has a bad day, ein he ma'avdu esatikva. If he has a bad day, he doesn't lose hope. He doesn't give up. Ki machar ye yoser tov. Maybe tomorrow will be better. So here's how he reads the pasuk. Yeah, the pasuk by Makas Arov. By the swarm of wild beasts. What does the pasuk say? V'samti pedus bein ami uvein amecha. I'm going to put a distinction between my people and your people. And he says, you know what that distinction is? Machar yiyeh ha'os hazeh. Your attitude towards machar is going to be that distinction. You hear how he's reading the pasuk? The pasuk shot in the pasuk is that Moshe says, tomorrow, Hashem is going to distinguish between Jews and Egyptians. Says the Rebbe of Baranov, no. Tomorrow, your attitude towards tomorrow, how you deal with today as opposed to tomorrow, as opposed to yesterday, is the distinction between us and the Umos HaOlam. How we deal with that. Zeh Masham Arkosav, V'samti Pedus Bein Ami U'Bein Amecha. Haynu Sheyeshno Hevdo Gadol Bein Ami Yisrael L'Bein Agoyim. What is that Hevdo? What is that distinction? Machar Yehosa. He quotes Yerushalmi. Okay? Last insight on this idea, and then one story to end. He quotes Yerushalmi in Peah. This is a beautiful Yerushalmi that was explained to him by the Ger Rebbe, the Lev Simcha, the fifth Ger Rebbe. The Tolna Rebbe said the following pshat from the Ger Rebbe on this Yerushalmi and Peya. Maisa Nora Rabbi Yochanan v'Rishon ben Lakish. Look at this story. Rabbi Yochanan, the bottom paragraph on page 288. Rabbi Yochanan and Rishon ben Lakish once had the following incident. Heim halchu lebeis hamerchatz b'Tveria. They once went to the bathhouse in Tveria. Upagash osam adam shebikesh sheyazru lo. And they met someone in the bathhouse, a pauper, who said, "Do you think you could help me? I'm very hungry. Hu hayarai v'bikesh nedava. Can you give me some tzedakah? I'm hungry." Amru lo. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish said to the poor man, "Kasher neitzei mibeis hamerchatz niten lach. When we come out of the bathhouse, we'll give you. The three of us will go out for go for shawarma together. I don't know, but we're going to the mikvah. When we come out of the mikvah, we're happy. Just give us a couple of minutes. We'll be right back." Kasher yatsu, this is such a powerful Yerushalmi. When they came out, they found that the guy was lying dead on the floor. Kasher yatsu roshu meis me'ra'av. He died of starvation. He died of hunger. Amru, what would you do in that moment? What do you do? They really messed up. And they were probably plagued by, if we would have, if we could have, we should have, we just would have listened to his cry, we would have responded more quickly, we would have... He's dead now. There's nothing you can do about it. This is not a Tchias HaMesim Gemara story. So, that's not what's about to happen. Amru, they said, look at this, look at these words. Ho'il v'lo zechinan bei b'chayo, nitvo bei b'misusei. Since we weren't able to attend to him in his life, let's at least properly attend to him in his death. Mikaven shlo zechinu lazar lo b'chayov, l'fachos netapel bo lachar moso. Mamshicha gemar misaperes. Gemara goes on to tell the story. Ki mitaplon bei, ashkechon kis dinare talu bei. When they started to be metapa, when they started preparing his body for burial, they found that what? Kis dinare, a wallet, a pouch full of money, talube, was hanging from him. Amru had the Amr Rabbi Abba Amr Rabbi Lazar. Srichan anu lahachzik tova l'ramma in shabahem. They said, this guy's a charlatan. He's a rich guy. He was just trying to squeeze a couple extra bucks out of us. Why did he die? Who knows why he died? Maybe he had a heart attack. I don't know. Who knows what happened to him, right? But this is what Rabbi Lazar said. We need to be thankful to the tricksters because they save us from trouble. Meaning what? Meaning whenever we don't give tzedakah, right? How can we have the chutzpah not to give tzedakah? It's Hashem's money. Why don't we give tzedakah? Because not everyone who collects tzedakah is honest. And therefore, when we turn someone down, right, we'll always have the excuse, well, Hashem, I wasn't sure if this was an honest collector. And Hashem will say, you're right, there are some dishonest collectors of tzedakah. Right? So Baruch Hashem, we didn't give this guy tzedakah. And thankfully, this guy was a trickster, so we didn't even do the wrong thing. Okay? She'ulule ramayin shabahen, haya echad mehen toveya tzedakah min ha'adam, v'lo nosin lamiyad haya nanash. Top of page 289. Because if not for the fakers, anyone who didn't give tzedakah should be punished right away. Okay? But now they realize after the fact that what? That this guy was a faker, this guy was a phony. And actually, they hadn't done anything wrong by not giving him tzedakah. Right? Retroactively, they realized that. Explain the Ger Rebbe. Last paragraph that we're going to read inside today. Amar al-kach ha-Rebbe migur, ha-Lev Simcha. Lev Simcha was the fifth Ger Rebbe. Okay, the fifth Ger Rebbe explained. Davar nifla. Adam acher shahaya nikla lamatzav kazeh. Imagine, you find yourself in this situation. As far as they understood, this poor guy died because they decided they wanted to go to the mikvah before they gave him something to eat. Right? Most people wouldn't be able to take care of such a body. The feelings of guilt. Right? The depth of disgust with oneself. That a person died of hunger because of me. It would rob a person from clear thought. To realize the opportunity that's in front of you. The opportunity they had right now is what? Kvuras hameis. It's a chashuv mitzvah. But most of us would have felt too guilty or too bad to do the right thing at that point. Adam acher hayah boreach. Some people would just run away. Some people would tear their clothing, rip out their hair, he says, out of tsar, out of just feeling, ugh, there's nothing I can do now. It's all lost, right? Make an anonymous phone call to the police. There was a dead body lying outside the mikvah. And sheepishly, you know, go home and cry yourself to bed. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish did. Ulam osam shnei amoraim tzadikim. Miyushavim hayim bedaitam. These two tzadikim, with their clear thinking. Kasher kara osam maisa lo nisyashu vachu. They didn't give up. They said, okay, right now we have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. And that's exactly what they did. And again, that's the strength of Mordechai and Esther. Watch those moments in the Megillah where Mordechai and Esther, again, take advantage of a positive moment, even if it's surrounded by all sorts of terrifying, destructive, hopeless moments. That's what we learn from Mordechai and Esther. He ends with a story that I told you once. I never saw it in print until I just read this piece. Okay, but there's a little bit of I heard a slightly different version of the story. Rav Gad Eisner was a Holocaust survivor, a Ger Chassid, someone who was in Auschwitz. Became a Mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael, never was blessed with children, but had thousands of Talmidim. So Rav Gad Eisner, there's amazing stories about him during the war. So one time, Rav Gad Eisner was lying in his, lying on his, on that plank of wood that they called their beds, in one of the barracks. And all of a sudden, Rav Gad Eisner turned to the Jews in the barracks and he said, "Chaver, everybody stand up, everyone get on your feet. Pick yourselves up." He said, right now we're really suffering. But we have to remember how to live life. Because there's a tomorrow. There's something that comes after. We're going to survive this war. There's something that comes after this. We have to remember how to be Hasidish mention. You know, good Hasidim. I guess he was with a bunch of other Hasidish Jews. No one looked like a Hasid at that point. They're striped pajamas and no beards and, you know. But he said, we have to remember what it means to be a Hasidish Yid. So he said, everyone stand up. And got them all up. And he said, picture yourself like a Hasidish Yid on a Shabbos. Picture yourself. Close your eyes. Picture yourself like a Hasidish Yid on the Shabbos. He says, what does a Hasidish Yid look like on Shabbos? He says, a Hasidish Yid goes with his strimal. He says, everyone fix your strimals. So they take their little caps, you know, little pictures from the Holocaust, little hats. They take their little caps, they straighten them out. He says, good. He says, fix, you know, everyone fix your coats. Yeah. He said, take your thumbs and tuck it into your gartels, like a Hasidish guy, you know? And he says to them, and pretend we just had a Shabbos Suda. And not only did I have one bowl of chulin, I had two bowls of chulin, and three bowls of chulin. Right? And my stomach is, Einik Shabbos. He says, and now you're going outside, like a Hasidish Yid on a Shabbos afternoon, going for a little spatzir after a couple of bowls of chulin. All right, so he said, close your eyes, and tuck your fingers into your gartel, so they stick their thumbs into their pants, you know. Your stomach lead the way. Little pot belly, you know. So he says, go. He says, lean back and like, you know, go for a stroll. And he has this whole chevra of Jews, mamish in Auschwitz, with their eyes closed, strolling around. He has them walking in circles around the barracks. All of a sudden, one of the SS guards outside, he's like, realizes there's what's going on over there. So he comes into the room, and he sees all these Jews walking around with their eyes closed, with their fingers tucked in. You know, so what's going on? And they all jump back into their bunk beds. There was a Yid, and he doesn't mention it here, but I heard the story from someone. He said there was a Yid who said after the war, he survived the war, he said, there was the only time that I laughed throughout the entire Holocaust was that day. He said, Rav God gave us such a smile, such a laugh. He gave us so much hope that day. Right? But Tishach Liom Achron, to believe that there's a tomorrow. Rav God Eisner was walking one time. He was walking through the camps and he saw a Jew looking tzibrachin, needless to say, you're in Auschwitz. And he goes over to this Jew, he says, what's wrong? Oh, I know what's wrong. You're worried who's gonna be the caterer by your chasana? Don't worry, I'll help you figure it out. In Auschwitz, that's what he said to a Yid. You know, some bacher, some yeshiva bacher, some 18-year-old kid who is hanging onto life by a thread. And he says, after the war, you're wondering what your chasana is going to look like. You're nervous. You want to make sure you have the right caterer, the right baker, to make sure that the food is good by your chasana. Don't worry, I'll help you take care of it. Right? Mechazek yid, that there's going to be a tomorrow. There's going to be a better day around the corner. No, so Mir Tashem, we should be zochah to live like Mordechai and Esther. If you have a chance to kick a Malik, kick a Malik. Malik, you beat me yesterday. You're going to beat me tomorrow. Okay, but right now, my life is filled with so much chametz. Okay, but can you be mevayer one crumb of chametz? Can you be mevayer one crumb of chametz? That's also bir chametz. Shomer mitzvah lo yedid avrad. Chazal called that a shomer mitzvah. It's a person who kept a mitzvah. So mir tashem, we should be zochet to appreciate the pirurim. Again, Purim is milashon pirurim. Literally means crumbs. Purim is all about picking up the crumbs. Realizing the power of a small mitzvah. Realizing the power of a tiny bit of destruction of the Yetzer Hara. Okay. Mir tashem, we should be zochet to live like Mordechai and Esther. Yeah. Xerah's overturned because the little things that he thought didn't actually do anything did something. Mordechai's tefillah, his zaka gedola, is crying and screaming in the streets and gathering up those kids, right? When it seemed hopeless, a Jew has to try. A Jew always has to try. That's all we have to do. Yid has to try. You have to try. Yid has to try. You have to want. You have to try. Okay. Good.